So today, we're going to do a deep dive on injection molding costs. You know, whether you're brand new to the whole injection molding scene or maybe just need a little refresher, I think this will be super helpful. We're really trying to break down how much each of those little plastic pieces actually costs to make. And I think a lot of people will be surprised. It's not just about how much the plastic itself costs.
Yeah, it's true. There are so many factors that come into play, and it really all adds up. You know, it's kind of, I always think about it like a puzzle almost, where all these different pieces represent these different cost elements.
And I love that analogy. That's perfect. Really captures how complex it can be. And so that's where you come in. You're going to help us kind of piece together all these different parts of the puzzle and figure out how these costs are actually calculated.
Absolutely. Let's get started. Well, let's start with, you know, what might seem like the most obvious cost, the actual material. It's easy to just think, oh, it's just the amount of plastic you use, but it's not that simple.
Okay, so this is where it gets interesting.
Yeah, exactly. It's about the density of the plastic, too. Different plastics have different densities, meaning that you could have the same volume of two different types of plastic, but they'll have different weights. So ultimately, that means different costs.
So it's not just how MUCH plastic you use, but what kind of plastic it is, too.
Exactly. The source actually had this really great example. You know, imagine you have 10 cubic centimeters of plastic. Now, that could weigh 12 grams, but if you use a totally different plastic, those same 10 cubic centimeters could have a totally different weight, you know, way more or way less.
Wow, that's a pretty big difference when you're talking about the same amount.
Huge difference. And this is where, you know, 3D modeling is super important. Remember that quote from the source about someone using 3D modeling to figure out the volume of, like, a really weird, irregular shape?
Yeah, they said it was like solving a puzzle.
Exactly. It's so important to get the volume right. If that calculation is even a little bit off, it can throw off all your material cost calculations. You could end up with some big surprises, you know, later down the line.
Yeah, you don't want that. Okay, so we've got the material cost down. But what about the mold itself? That seems like it would be a pretty big expense.
Oh, absolutely. Creating a mold for injection molding, that's a serious investment. There are design costs, machining costs, testing, and a bunch of other stuff. It's definitely not something to be taken lightly.
Right. And that brings us to this interesting idea of mold cost sharing. Mm-hmm. The source actually had this great analogy comparing it to, like, splitting a pizza with your friends.
Oh, yeah. You're all sharing the cost of the pizza, or in this case, the mold, and everyone gets their slice. No. So the more slices or items you make using that mold, the lower the cost per slice per item becomes.
So you're basically spreading the cost out over a larger number of those units.
Exactly. They had a good example in there. Like, say you invest 38,000 yuan in a mold and you're planning on making, like, 100,000 items with it. Well, that means the mold cost is only 0.38 yuan per item.
That's much better than 38,000.
Right. So you really have to think long term with injection molding. Yeah, the upfront cost is big, but if you're making a ton of units, it becomes way less scary over time.
All right. So we've talked materials and molds, but now let's get into the nitty gritty of the injection molding process itself. I have a feeling this is where some of those hidden costs really start to, like, creep in.
You're telling me the machinery they use for injection molding, not exactly known for being, you know, super energy efficient.
It takes a lot of power to heat the plastic, inject it, and cool it all down.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? The longer it takes to make each piece, the more energy that machine is using. So, yeah, time is definitely money here.
I think the source had a helpful example for this, too. Let's imagine a machine using 10 kilowatts of power, and it takes, say, 30 seconds to make one piece. That works out to be, like, 0.083 melid per unit just for the electricity. And that's just the electricity.
You got it. Plus, you can't forget about the people running the machines, the labor costs. Someone's got to be there operating it, and you got to factor in their time, too.
That's easy to overlook, especially if you're not, you know, super familiar with how it all works.
Oh, for sure. Let's say you have someone making $20 an hour, and they can crank out 60 items per hour. Well, that's another $1.33 you got to add onto the cost of each piece.
So we're talking materials, molds, the energy used in the process, and then the labor involved. Anything else we're missing?
Well, there's one more big one that people often forget about. Depreciation.
Depreciation. Tell me more about that.
Think about, like, your favorite pair of shoes. Eventually they wear out, right? You might need to get them fixed, or eventually just buy a whole new pair.
Oh, so it's about accounting for the machines wearing out over time.
Exactly. And that cost has to be factored into every single item you make.
So how do you calculate that?
It's pretty straightforward. You take the purchase price of the machine and divide it by the total number of items you think you'll make with it over its lifetime.
So it's kind of similar to how we handled the mold cost, like spreading that cost out over time.
Exactly. Both depreciation and mold costs, they're kind of sneaky, you know? People don't always think about them, but they can really impact how much each thing actually costs to make.
All right, so we've got materials, molds, all the costs involved in the actual process, like the energy and labor, and now depreciation. Sounds like a pretty comprehensive list, but is there anything LSE we should be considering?
Well, we can't forget about packaging and getting the finished product to the customer. Those little doodads don't just magically teleport themselves, right?
That's true. I bet there's a whole world of costs tied up in just getting those finished pieces where they need to go.
Oh, yeah, a whole world. And that's what we're going to dig into next.
So we were just starting to talk about all those kind of hidden costs of packaging and transport. And I think a lot of people don't realize how those little things can really add up.
Oh, absolutely. I was reading one of the sources, and they had this story about someone who was like totally blindsided by how complicated the packaging was. Like, you don't think about it, but there are the materials, and then someone has to pack it, and then getting it to the customer, that's a whole other thing.
Right. And the source broke it down. Like, even if your materials are super cheap, let's say like 20 cents per unit, and then it costs you 5 cents per unit to actually pack everything, that's 25 cents. Which doesn't sound like much, but it adds up really fast when you're making
Wow.
thousands and thousands of units.
Yeah, for sure. And then transportation throws a whole wrench in things too.
Yeah.
Fuel prices are all over the place. And then what about like weather delays? You can't always predict that.
Speaking of weather, there was that story in one of the sources about a whole shipment being delayed by a snowstorm. It's like you can plan for everything, but then Mother Nature steps in and throws you a curveball.
Exactly. Sometimes you just can't win. That's why having a good strategy for the whole logistics side is so important. It's not just about finding the cheapest shipping option. It's got to be reliable too.
Yeah, it's all connected. I'm starting to realize that all these little costs, they're not so little when you really think about
They
it.
snowball on you for
It
sure.
makes you realize how important it is to be like detail-oriented when you're doing this.
Yeah.
Every penny counts.
It really does. Now, thinking bigger picture for a second, one thing that the source touched on that I thought was interesting was the tools people use to try and estimate and manage these costs. There were some pretty cool strategies in there that I think would be really helpful for anyone listening.
Yeah, let's get into that. We've talked about all the different costs, like the what of it all. But now I'm curious about the how. How can people actually figure all this stuff out and make sure they're not, losing money?
Well, first of all, we already mentioned 3D modeling. It's not just for seeing what the product will look like. You can use it to make sure those volume calculations are spot on, and we already talked about how important that is for getting your material costs right.
Right. And some of those 3D modeling programs actually have like built-in features specifically for cost estimation, which is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, it's like you have a little virtual injection molding factory right there on your computer, you know? You can try different things, see what happens to the cost. Super helpful.
So 3D modeling, that's definitely key. What else is out there?
Well, there are these things called online cost calculators, which are pretty handy. Basically, you just go to the website, plug in all the info about your project, like what kind of plastic you're using, how big the mold is, how complicated it is, and all that stuff, and it'll spit out an estimated cost.
So you can kind of get a ballpark figure without needing to be like a math whiz.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Plus, they're always updating these calculators with like the latest info on material costs, energy costs, you know, all the stuff that's constantly changing.
So you know you're working with good data. That's reassuring.
For sure. And then there are also some really cool apps out there specifically for estimating how much material you'll need for a project.
So it's like a special calculator just for figuring out how much plastic to order, basically.
Exactly. You put in the volume of your thing, what the density of your plastic is, and it does the rest for you, tells you exactly how much you need.
No more guessing or doing crazy math problems. I love it.
Right. Some of them even let you compare different kinds of plastic so you can see which one makes the most sense for your budget.
Okay, I gotta say, I'm feeling a lot more confident about this whole cost thing now. It sounds like there are some pretty powerful tools out there that can help you stay on track.
There definitely are. But it's important to remember that even with all these tools, it's not always going to be perfect. You know, things can change. There are always unknowns. You got to factor that into your planning.
You can't predict everything, right?
Exactly. And that's where things like strategy and being proactive, that's where that comes in. One of the sources talked about this idea called design for manufacturability, or DFM for short.
DFM. That sounds interesting. What's that all about?
It's about designing your product from the very beginning with the whole manufacturing process in mind. If you can make a product that's easy and efficient to actually make, that's going to save you a ton of money down the road.
So you're kind of thinking ahead, trying to anticipate any problems or bottlenecks before they happen instead of reacting to them later.
Exactly. Like choosing the right materials, keeping the design as simple as possible, and avoiding anything that's going to be really hard or expensive to actually manufacture.
It's almost like being a detective. You know, you're looking for clues in the design that might point to higher costs later on.
I like that. And the earlier you can catch those clues, the better. It's way easier and cheaper to make changes to the design in the beginning than it is once you're already in production.
Right. Like, it's easier to tweak a blueprint than it is to, like, rebuild a whole house. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So DFM is all about being smart and strategic, thinking about how every decision you make with the design is going to impact the manufacturing process and ultimately the cost.
Okay, DFM, got it. So what else can people do to keep those costs in check?
Another big one that people sometimes forget is working closely with their injection molding supplier. They know their stuff, and they can give you some really valuable advice that can save you money.
It's easy to think of your supplier as just the person you buy stuff from, but it sounds like they can actually be a really important partner in this whole thing.
Absolutely. They can help you pick the right materials, make sure the mold is designed well, and even help you streamline the whole production process.
So it's all about communication and teamwork.
Exactly. The more info you share with your supplier, the better they can help you find ways to save money.
Okay, so we've got DFM, collaboration with your supplier. What else?
Oh, something that often gets overlooked is material selection. Remember how we were talking about how the kind of plastic you choose can make a big difference in how much the final product costs?
Yeah, it's not just about picking the strongest or most durable material. You got to find the one that works best for what you need.
Indeed doesn't break the bank.
Exactly. And there's so much to think about, like strength, durability, how flexible it is, how it handles heat, how it reacts to chemicals. The list goes on and on.
It can feel kind of overwhelming, to be honest. Where do you even start with all those options?
Don't worry, there's help out there. A lot of plastic suppliers have these online databases, and you can search for materials based on what properties you need. Then you can compare and see how much they all cost.
So you can basically create like a short list of the materials that fit your needs and then see how the prices stack up.
Yeah, exactly. And don't be afraid to reach out to your supplier directly, too. Ask for their recommendations. They might know about some newer materials or some alternatives that you haven't even thought of.
They're the pros, after all. Right. So for choosing materials, it's all about doing your research, being careful about comparing your options, and talking to your supplier.
Got it. So we've covered DFM, working with suppliers, choosing the right materials, anything else?
One last thing that's really important is something called process optimization. Basically, it's about always being on the lookout for ways to make the whole injection molding process as efficient as possible.
So it's like fine-tuning a machine to make sure it's running as smoothly as possible, right?
Exactly. And there are a lot of different things you can tweak, like the design of the mold, the pressure and temperature when you're injecting the plastic, even using automation to do some of the work so you don't need as many people.
Wow, there are a lot of moving parts to this.
There are. But the good news is that even small improvements can add up to big savings over time.
Okay, so let's recap all the amazing strategies we've talked about so far, just to make sure everyone's on the same page.
Sounds good.
So we started with DFM, which stands for Design for Manufacturability, and it's all about thinking ahead and anticipating any problems that might come up during production. Then we talked about how important it is to have a good relationship with your injection molding supplier. You know, really see them as a partner who can help you out. We dug into the whole world of choosing materials and how that one decision can really impact your bottom line. And finally, we talked about how important it is to always be looking for ways to make the whole process more efficient, which is what process optimization is all about.
That's a great summary.
So if people use these strategies, they'll be well on their way to, like, becoming masters of injection molding cost control.
Totally. It's all about being in the know, thinking ahead, and having a plan. But You know, I think it's important to mention that this can all feel a bit overwhelming, especially if you're new to this whole world. There are a lot of numbers and moving pieces.
Absolutely. It's a lot to wrap your head around.
Right. It's tempting to just want to give up and say, forget it. This is way too complicated.
Exactly. But remember, you don't have to figure it all out at once.
Nope. Start with the basics, focus on one thing at a time, and you'll gradually learn and get more and more confident.
And remember, there are tons of resources out there to help you too, like online forums, articles, and books, even just talking to other people who have more experience.
Yeah, for sure. Don't be afraid to ask questions and learn from others.
Okay, so we've covered the what of injection molding costs and even the how with all these strategies. But now I'm kind of curious about the tools people can actually use. You know, the actual methods and resources they can use to crunch the numbers and get a really clear picture of where their money's going.
That's a great point. We've touched on a few things already, but there's a whole world of tools out there. That's what we'll be diving into next.
So are you telling me there's actually a way to like enjoy crunching numbers? Because I got to be honest, that's not usually my idea of a good time.
Well, maybe enjoy is pushing it, but there are definitely some tools and techniques out there that can make cost analysis way less painful and honestly way more useful.
Okay, you've got my attention. Tell me more about these magical tools.
Well, let's start with the OG, the classic spreadsheets. I know they might seem kind of old school, but trust me, for cost analysis, they're super powerful. You can literally track everything in them. How much you're spending on materials, labor, shipping, anything you can think of. And the best part is you can easily make charts and graphs to actually see the data, you know, spot trends and stuff.
So it's like having your own like personalized dashboard for your whole injection molding operation. You can see all the important numbers in one place.
Exactly. And they're so flexible, you can customize them to fit exactly what you need, track whatever's most important to you.
That makes sense. But what about those of us who aren't like spreadsheet wizards? Are there any other options?
Oh, absolutely. There's a ton of great software out there specifically for cost tracking, especially for businesses that do manufacturing. These programs can do a lot of the heavy lifting for you know, like automatically entering data and doing some of the analysis. So you don't have to spend hours and hours doing it all manually.
That sounds amazing, especially if you're not super comfortable with spreadsheets or just don't have a lot of time to be like typing in numbers all day.
Totally. And a lot of them can even make you all sorts of fancy reports like profit and loss statements, cost breakdowns, you know, all that good stuff. Some can even do trend analysis.
Wow, it's like having a virtual CFO right there in your computer.
Pretty much.
All
But
right.
even with all the fancy software in the world, you still got to have a good grasp of the basic accounting stuff.
Okay, full disclosure, accounting is not my strong suit. But I'm willing to learn if it means like really understanding my costs.
I hear ya. But trust me, even knowing just the basics, like how debits and credits work, what assets and liabilities are, that can make a huge difference in how you understand all those numbers.
So it's not just about crunching numbers, it's about understanding what they actually mean, you know, and how they affect your whole business.
Exactly. And once you understand that, you can make smarter decisions about everything, like what to charge for your products, whether to invest in new equipment, all that.
Okay, so we've got spreadsheets, cost tracking software, and good old-fashioned accounting knowledge. Sounds like we're well on our way to becoming injection molding cost ninjas.
We are. But you know, it's not just about the tools, it's about actually using them. You got to be consistent, stay on top of things, and always be on the lookout for ways to improve how you're doing
It's
things.
like anything else, the more you do it, the better you get.
Exactly. The more you understand about your costs, the better you'll be at controlling them, which means ultimately you'll make more money.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave everyone with something to think about. We've talked about all the stuff that affects how much it costs to make things with injection molding. We've explored all kinds of tools and techniques to help you really get a grip on those costs. But now I want to hear from you. What tools or strategies would you use to get even more accurate cost estimates? Maybe even try out different scenarios and see what happens.
Ooh, that's a good one. Just remember, this is a journey, you know? It's all about constantly learning and getting better. You don't have to know everything right away. Start with the basics, try things out, and little by little, you'll gain more knowledge and confidence. Who knows, maybe you'll even discover some brand new approach that changes the way we think about injection molding costs forever.
I love that. And remember, we're all in this together, so share what you learn, ask questions, and let's keep helping each other out. Until next time, happy molding.